In this article that I had mentioned, by the way, it's a delicate subject, and as I said, I've skipped it in days gone by, but it's such a common subject today, and it's in the news so much until I don't think anybody need be offended by it. It's part of God's Word. There are so many illustrations I will not use. Even as Max Müller, the great translator of Oriental sacred books, tremendous translator, he was an unbeliever, but he was a brilliant man. I guess he was one of the most brilliant in Oriental languages, all of them, from Sanskrit to all the languages of the Far East. But in his book on the sacred books of the East, in the introduction, he apologized for not translating great portions of the sacred books of the East because of their indescribable filth. He says, there's no way that I can put it in delicate English language or in a civilized language. He apologized for it. I found the same problem found in like Adam Clark's commentary. He will make intimations of these religions in the days of Lot and in the early Exodus of the children of Israel and their worship of Baal and Ashtart and so many of the other religions of that day, Apis the Bull and all the rest. They were indescribably filthy. And I'll show you why, because they're doctrines of demons. And in angelology, when we deal with the demons, one of the reasons I believe the demons were a pre-Adamic order of creatures who lived upon the earth, who had the power of procreation. Because it seems to be they are the ones who instigate and inflame human passions for sexual excesses and perversion. And I'll try to prove that from one or two points, but mainly it belongs to the realm of angelology and demonology. Why the Bible calls them foul spirits and evil spirits and familiar spirits. In demonology, we'll deal with all these names that God gives to them. Most of the names have a sexual connotation. And they have the idea of perversion. Perversion. Filth. Degradation. I'm going to read one portion here from the first chapter of Romans. But this article that was in the newspaper, Reader's Digest, on America's moral crisis. He made this statement in the introduction. We have reached the stomach turning point in America. That's good. That's exactly what Jesus said in his last message to the last church in Revelation 3. When he said, if you don't repent, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You know what he said? You make me sick to my stomach. And usually when I talk the book of Revelation, I would say they make me sick to my stomach too. I know exactly how he feels about it. We have reached, he said, the stomach turning point. But it seems like just about when you think that it's about as bad as it can get, something turns up where it's even worse. It's no wonder that God is sending these new pestilence. Funny thing, Swindoll said this morning on his program, when he said he was teaching the third chapter of the message to the church of Thyatira, and he made the statement of this repent, carrying the idea of he said most Greek scholars, I didn't put it that way exactly, but he said most authorities, I mean, conclude that the word there carries the idea of from sexual excesses. He said the messages to the seven churches, especially the last four, and the ones who he calls to repent. But I want to read this first, and then I want to read a portion from the 20th century New Testament. I like the language. I like the language of Phillips even better, but I don't like his slang, so I'm going to read it. I'm going to give it out of the 20th century, but it also denies the virgin birth, but still it comes awfully close. I was going to read the Diaglet, but then it isn't as plain as this one is. Let me read from Luke. Yeah, I've got it in your notes. Luke 17, 28 through 30. Now remember, these are the days, plural, of Lot. As the days of Noah were 120 years, but the day of Noah was when the flood came. Very great distinction. Days and day. Evidently, then, the days of Lot are not only the day of Lot, when the same day that Lot left the city, it says, fire and brimstone came down. That's one day. But the days of Lot was that whole time when this just man's soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. The word conversation is conduct. He becomes so rotten, and yet he didn't leave the city. I've often wondered if Mrs. Lot wasn't a sodomite herself. He must have married her over there. Because the two daughters weren't any better than the sons in law that wouldn't come out of the city either. She turned into a pillar of salt, and the two daughters became incestuous mothers of two of the rottenest nations in Palestine, almost worse than the Philistines, because they should have been better with the daughters of Lot for their matriarchs. Only in Luke gives the sign of Lot. That's strange, but God intended that way. Likewise, bringing it to the days of Noah, in verse 26, also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day, here's the singular, that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Here's the Lord's interpretation, Jesus himself. Thus, even thus, I am assured that, shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In the same flaming fire, by the way. It'll be fire and brimstone, which will devour the adversaries. Read that first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, about verse 7, I believe it is. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all those who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be destroyed from the presence of God with everlasting destruction. Flaming fire. Paul also says in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, that was in the first chapter, in the second chapter he says, about the Antichrist, whom the Lord shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. I like what Wilbur Smith, I believe it was. No, wrong. Anyhow, he used to write a lot for Moody Monthly and in Moody Magazine and taught at Moody for a long time. He was the first one I heard say it. Now, I've borrowed and everybody else has borrowed. He said, fire and brimstone, or brimstone, is the stuff God's wrath's made out of. It must be a lot similar to it. Stuff God's wrath is made out of. The Bible has a lot said on it. If you were to turn with me to Romans 1 and follow, beginning with verse 18, I want to show you that Paul is linking that corruption back there at Lot's day, and it spread into the Israelitish nation, and we shall see as we come to it, it was even in the temple of God in the city of Jerusalem. To me. But you know, there are a lot of churches today that used to preach the truth and were founded by godly men. And today they are sending this stuff too. Let me read this from this 20th century edition. If you have a Phillips, sometime look at it, and he's even plainer than this one, but I just decided I'd use this one. So too there is a revelation from heaven of the divine wrath against every form of ungodliness and wickedness on the part of those men who by their wicked lives are stifling the truth. This is so because what can be known about God is plain to them. For God himself has made it plain. For ever since the creation of the universe, God's invisible attributes, his everlasting power and divinity, are to be seen and studied in his works. I like that. I even like Moffat sometimes, by the way. There are some great doctrines in the state that he messes with them. He was a good Greek scholar. For God himself has made it plain, for ever since the creation of the universe, God's invisible attributes, his everlasting power and divinity, are to be seen and studied in his works, so that men have no excuse, because although they learned to know God, yet they did not offer him as God either praise or thanksgiving. Their speculations about him proved futile, and their undiscerning minds were darkened. Good translation of the Greek. Professing to be wise, they showed themselves fools. And they transformed the glory of the immortal God into the likeness of mortal man and of birds and beasts and reptiles. Therefore, God abandoned them. Three times in the whole text, God gave them up. God gave them up. And abandon is a good translation of the word. God abandoned them to impurity, letting them follow the cravings of their hearts till they dishonored their own bodies. For they had substituted a lie for the truth about God. And had reverenced and worshipped the created things more than the Creator, who is to be praised forever. Amen. That, I say, is why God abandoned them to degrading passions. Even the women among them perverted the natural use of the bodies to the unnatural, while the men, disregarding that which women were intended by nature, were consumed with passion, one for another, men indulging in vile practices with men, and incurring in their own persons the inevitable penalty of their own perverseness. They're getting it today in AIDS. And they're going to get some worse. Then, as they would not keep God before their minds, God abandoned them to depraved thoughts, so that they did all kinds of shameful things. They reveled in every form of wickedness, evil, greed, vice. Their lives were full of envy, murders, quarreling, treachery, malice. They came backbiters. 21 of these, by the way, and we'll see when we come to 2 Timothy 3, another catalog. Impious, insolent, boastful, they devised new sins. They disobeyed their parents. They were undiscerning, untrustworthy, without natural affections. Keep that in mind. Without natural affections. Peter said in the last days they'd be without natural affections. Paul says the same thing. In 2 Timothy 3. Or pity. Well aware of God's decree. As I've been reading this last week, most of the collection that I have on the gays, they all try to excuse themselves, and you know that they know what they're doing. They're not ignorant. And a lot of them are preachers. If you want to call them that. They're messengers of Satan, Paul called them. They were undiscerning, untrustworthy, without natural affection, well aware of God's decree that those who do such things deserve to die. Not only are they guilty of them themselves, but they even applaud those who do them. I like that translation. Even as it is by a man that didn't believe in the virgin birth. Coming back to your notes. Notice the next phrase, in that day. Historically. Genesis 19. Not only does Jesus link Noah and Lot as signs for the last days, before Christ's revelation to earth, but Peter does also and with the great two great floods, water and fire. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the third chapter and the third verse. It is interesting that Lot passed away from human history completely until his ancestors are given in the Ammonites and the Moabites. And then when you come to the New Testament, Jesus, and Peter gives Lot, Jude gives the flood. If I remember rightly, we'll come to it later. He has ranked them before in verses 5 and 6 in chapter 2, and the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me read these two verses. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an ensample, or an example, under pattern, unto those that after should live ungodly. Then look in chapter 3, and beginning, I won't have time to read all I'd like to read, but beginning in verse 3. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For all things can... For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant, that by the works of God the heavens of old and the earth standing up out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, perished. Now notice. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, promise of judgment coming. And we're living in those days right now. By the same word are kept in store, or are stored with fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This linking of Noah and Lot, it's interesting, two kinds of flood, water and fire, falling out of the heavens. God sent a rainbow not to do it again with water. Did you say anything about not doing it with fire? Because of the same word of God Almighty, it's stored with fire. And if I have time at the end of this lesson, I want to, in the recounted earth, show you how Paul, in this same third chapter of 2 Peter, shows that God is going to use intense heat, that will dissolve the elements and recounted the earth. And the funny part about it is that the heavens are stored with fire, and the earth is stored with fire. The ocean is stored with fire. Two of the most explosive elements in all of God's creation are oxygen and hydrogen. The elements would explode, not with fervent heat. The earth would explode, the water would explode with the hydrogen and the oxygen in it if it wasn't for nitrogen. All it needs is just the least little bit of change. The whole thing will blow up. I'm sure in your physics class you had it. I remember in physics class, the fellow put a drop of water on an anvil and hit with a sledgehammer. It sounded like a rifle shot. It blew up. If you could take a cup of water and blow it up like that with that same impact, it blew up the whole outfit. You know, an actual atom bomb isn't very big. About the size of a baseball, I understand. And yet, look what a tremendous explosion it is. And then you could take a hydrogen bomb. That's part of what water's made out of, the air's made out of. And it is millions and millions of times greater than an atom bomb. Instead of using fission, it uses It uses fusion and changes it into another, into hydrogen. Hydrogen and helium. I think that's what it is, yes. God's necessity to punish sin when it comes to a certain level. Now, God records this prime example twice. I didn't read Jude, but you can read it. But then, besides the 19th chapter of Genesis, 44 times in the Bible, God used them for an example of two things. Three things, really. The most degrading sins on earth. More hateful to God than anything else. The ultimate end of degradation. I get so sick of reading gay articles by gay preachers and gay priests saying that God loves the homosexuals. God made us that way, and why should He judge us? And all the rest. You might as well say, and they do say today, that a murderer is made by society. His parents are guilty. Everybody's guilty. The rioters say, everybody's guilty. It's the laws of the country. It's sure, you wouldn't get arrested for either sniffing or selling crack if there wasn't any law against it. You wouldn't get arrested for speeding either, but you might kill a whole bunch of people on Douglas over here if there wasn't any law against it. But God has made us under law, period. This seems to be the grace. That's why He gives it this 44 times. When God wanted to say that Jerusalem was a cesspool of iniquity in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, He uses the illustration. He says they prophesied in that city which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, wherein our Lord was crucified, so He went to Jerusalem. But spiritually, it's Sodom. He used that simile a dozen and a half times, at least, as Sodom, as Gomorrah. We shall see that as we come to it. As the epitome of moral corruption. Therefore, when God says, just before Jesus is revealed, it's going to be Sodom and Gomorrah repeated upon the earth, as it will be Noah's day repeated. God wants us to go back and look at the situation all around Sodom and Gomorrah just exactly like as He wanted us to do it in Noah's day. And when you do, you go back to the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. And you find two of the most heinous sins on the face of the earth that God despises, I think, more than any other, probably except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost or rejection of Jesus Christ. And they are sodomy, homosexuality or sodomy, man with man working that which is unseemly, and incest. But the incest of the days of Lot and the daughters of Lot were worse than the incest of the deacon at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 5. He took his father's wife, but she wasn't any blood relationship to him at all. These were blood-related. I've tried to figure out all the relationships of Moab and Ammon with each other and with Lot. They are their own uncles as well as cousins. All kinds of, it's almost like that song, I Am My Own Grandpa, he used to sing. And with marriage today, I wonder how in the world they can straighten out their relationships. Yes, but It's like, where did Cain get his wife? We'll answer that in anthropology class. But you have to remember, in the they could be several hundred years apart and marry a sister or a brother, and in the purity, there wasn't any genetic at first. There wasn't any genetic difficulty. And God could, even with the sister, marrying his sister by one parent, as Isaac and Abraham both did, when they said, "She is my sister." It was true, by one parent. But now, and God forbids this in the Bible, because of the genetic problems, before anybody ever knew about genetics. I know some inbred families up in the mountains, where there isn't a healthy one in the crowd. They have augmented the diseases among them and the defects until the Rh factor enters into a whole lot of it. I could give a lot of others to it, but I won't go any further into it. But back there, it was a necessity, and God intended so. But he sets a ban upon it later on in the scriptures. And we are making it all right now. These are prime examples of God's abhorrence. Let's see, are we living in the days of Lot? We saw it. We are living in the days of Noah. There's another barrel to the shotgun. Are we living in the days of Lot? It shouldn't be hard to find out, yes? I know it. We do not obey God in this thing, even in the Church of Jesus Christ. I've seen women come to church in shorts. God says the man shall not wear the clothes of the woman, or the woman of the man, and this is the confusion of the sexes. God forbids this confusion of sex, because he knew the tendency of the human heart under demoniacal suggestion to assume the characteristics of the other and leave the natural.
20 years ago, we used to arrest men on the street.
Absolutely. I can remember that very well. Yes.
And now the comedians do it freely on television.
Absolutely.
And it's coming right all over.
I have done a double take so often in walking down the streets of Tampa before I closed the store down that I had. I had to go over there to shop. And you'd see this flapper coming down the street, and when you got close enough, you'd see that she needs a shave. Or I said that, one man said, when you greet the modern generation, you don't rather kiss them or shake hands with them. You don't know whether it's a he or she or somebody else. It's this confusion of the sexes. God didn't want this. He knew the latent tendency under demoniacal suggestion to what they call unisex. This is really what they want. Here's why the women don't want to be called a woman anymore, and because it's got man on the end of it, I guess. I don't know what, actually they like that word Ms. or Miss, and a lot of them are, fortunately. I don't know how the opposite sex could ever be happy with them. This is the days of Lot. Let's see a little bit more of it, as much as we can give. And I have a world of material that I've collected on it because of its nature. That's for sure. Let's see the days of Lot with lesbianism and homosexuality. In the days of Lot, it ceased to be a closet sin. You remember the time when he used to call them closet creams. Now they're on TV. I won't have time to give it, but there are 2 or 3 dozen new films in the movie houses that are based upon it. And of course, let's see what. One TV program has got the man is a homosexual, and all the things are innuendo on it. There's several that blatantly come out with it. No problem. Everybody laughs. It's funny. A lot of the fun's going to be gone in the day of judgment when God starts to show his displeasure. God made man in his own image to worship God Almighty and to show forth God's nature. And this has nothing to do with God's nature. If I were giving some material, this fellow here is an archbishop in the Roman Catholic Church. He was, right? He's come out of it now. Even they couldn't stomach him any longer. It says, Archbishop Richard Clemens and his lover, Bishop Coadjutor John Noble. When I went to Newport Richey, Father Dresman up there had his lover. Went with him everywhere he went, and he used to hang on his arm and call him darling and dear in the public store. You talk about getting sick to your stomach. I was going to quote as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, and receive the just recompense of their rewards. In Isaiah 3:9, we read, they declared their sin as Sodom. They went public in the days of Isaiah, as they're going to do in the last days, we'll see. They declared their sin as Sodom. Or Rotherham is, they told their sin like Sodom, publicly, and have not concealed it. They have requited to themselves calamity. Judgment will come. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also receive. As we read in Romans, they shall receive the just recompense, requited for it. As in the days of Lot, the lascivious, degraded Sodomite religion entered into Israelitish worship in the house of God. Let me read from 2 Kings 23:7. If you put the text down, it's not in your notes. 2 Kings 23:7. The devil loves to defile the house of God. He loves to. And this is the greatest defilement. With the vilest of heathen rites brought into the church or house of God. I'm starting to read 2 Kings 23:7. And he, Hilkiah the priest, at the command of the good king Josiah, he brought the great revival in the land. And he break down the houses. They hocked Hedeshem. Or tent houses. The little booths that you'll see in Episcopal churches and in any heathen temple. You'll see these little booth-like sheltered places, and then they'll have the idol in that. Or the relic, or whatever it is. Or the candle. And Israel had this. To Ashtot, the goddess of fertility. We are where Easter from it. You want to know where Easter came from? It came from Ashtot, the goddess of fertility. That's why they used the egg and the rabbit and chicken and a few things like that. The ones that breed, I don't know why they don't use a mouse and a fly, since they're the same gods. But It says in the Authorized Version, by the house of the Lord. Brotherham and Langay and the rest shows you that the Hebrew is in the house of God, not by it. It was in the temple of God Almighty. The Sodomites, and probably many of the priests were Sodomites like they are today. By the way, in case I don't get to it, a Catholic paper came out last month. Said half the priests of the Catholic Church in America are sodomites, or homosexuals. Half of them. I've known some of them. But half of them. Let me read it again. And he break down the houses or shrines of the sodomites. Langay says, of the male prostitutes that were in the house of Jehovah. And where the women wove the hangings for the groves. Little enclosure. Houses is not a good translation, but they were called houses. Little houses for the idols. And evidently, and this is the part that I can't go into detail on, the emblems were emblems of their licentious sins. And they worshiped them. Sometime you read Langay's interpretation of the sin of Aaron and the golden calf. Yes?
And you would even be more shocked if you had been with us in Amsterdam last summer because they sell postcards with naked parts of human bodies.
Yeah.
That's
today's a lot, isn't it? Could they have done that back a little after the Reformation time? They'd have been killed if they'd have tried it. But now everything goes. Anything goes. I believe it.
Is a sign of a sexual perversion that they have either been the victim or the perpetrator.
Yes.
And they will not prove killing someone. You know, we take it as rather lightly.
Like the Hells Angels?
That's right. Yes. And it extends to many of these other bands there.
Yes.
Each one of those emblems on the back of the jacket has to do with violence or a sexual perversion.
Absolutely. This is going public. And here it is in the house of God. I want you to keep that in mind, the house of God, the temple of God. Because I want to give a little bit on our modern church. We're living in the days of Lot. It's gone public, and it's gone religious. Like I said, this one man said that God loves the homosexual. He loves them in the sense that he loves them in their sin, not loves them to save them from their sin. God could save them. I've met some. They've been saved from a life of degradation in that thing. There are at least two prominent denominations of gays today. And Reverend, Roy Perry founded the Metropolitan, the largest one, Metropolitan Community Church in Los Angeles, naturally. Now it has a couple dozen affiliates and 11 churches, and also 11 churches, 8 missions. This was in Time magazine. And it also said there are at least 200 homosexual churches in the United States of America. In the temple of God, in other words. They have missionaries, serve communion. Then they also arrange dates with other homosexuals. They have dances, and then this article says once a year they have a grand ball and they nominate a king and a queen. I immediately said, where did they get the king? when they're all queens. Except these churches also have lesbians in them. Here's another peculiar thing. And they agree with it. Time magazine also said that there were some 2.5 million homosexual males, 20% of the United States population, and like San Francisco has 20%, according to Brian Gumbel in his program on TV. He's doing it on TV. Because the thing of it was, he was reporting the parade they had out there of the homosexuals for the Democratic Convention with signs saying, "Give us our rights." I said, "Immediately you're going to get your rights." Sodom and Gomorrah did. So are you. And the lesbians had also a parade. So they wanted their rights. Go get it. The Kinsey Report, I made a mistake a minute ago. There are 20% in San Francisco. The Kinsey Report stated in Time Magazine, October the 31st, 1969, and there's more now. In the Kinsey Report stated that 4% of the United States male population are homosexuals, which would be 2,600,000, and that there were 1,400,000 women lesbians, making 4 million in the United States population. That's an utter ridiculous figure to me. But it shows you where we're living. We're living in the days of love. That's what I'm trying to get at. I wish we had time and inclination to go into the diseases that are coming now. I don't think it's an accident that AIDS is a brand new thing. In 1981, it came to the United States. Oh, they claim it started in the rhesus monkey in Africa and spread to the African natives, and then finally came by ship to the United States. It's got even the homosexuals scared. Because it's an epidemic proportion. They don't have any cure. Haven't even found one. Absolutely. Oh, yes. That's another one that... absolutely. That's another sign of the day. And God forbids it. Oh, no. And not only that, but no guilt. This one man that I was quoting after Perry... No, it was Malcolm Boyd. You remember him? In the 60s, he was an Episcopal priest. And he led all the parades. He was in jail most of the time. He makes the statement, and I don't, it's in this article or the next one, the other one I had. He said, "I had guilt." He said, "I was ashamed until finally God revealed unto me there wasn't to be anything to shame about. God made me this way. And that he loves homosexuals." In this one, he does. No, it's not the one. This other article I've got here. He shows that how many denominations are infiltrated by homosexuality. And he names Pentecostals are infiltrated. I didn't realize that. I was district superintendent of the Christian Missionary Alliance for the Southeastern District. I was one of the on the official board, and we had, I won't tell where, but we had to bring this one young man. The church reported him. He had his lover living in the parsonage with him, and we had to bring him up before the board and ask for his papers back, ordination papers, as well as terminating his pastorship there. I could name several that I have known. We are living in the days of Lot. And age is one of God's penalties. Remember, they're going to receive the just reward, just recompense. Yes. Yes, I have seen pictures of them, but I haven't actually seen the person. I have put down here some of the see how many babies died last year of AIDS, contacted from parents or sometimes a hospital needle. Dope needles. Every once in a while you read of a doctor or nurse dying of it, where they accidentally pricked their finger with a needle that they shot into a person with AIDS. And it doesn't take much. They can say all they want to. I believe if a mosquito bites a person with AIDS and then bites you, you've got it. Because that little proboscis that he sticks into that arm or neck picks up those germs out of the bloodstream. And it goes all through that mosquito. That's where you get malaria. The malaria mosquito doesn't naturally have it. Oh, they are. And the dope fiends. That's right. In kissing. Well, it was said. Well, you want to watch the doctors, though. They're changing their mind about a lot of things. Yeah. That's right. That's right. I read that too. It's true. That's right. That's right. That's the thing about it. Like it says here, concerning the about 1.5 million carriers in the United States today who have the germ or the virus, and it may be 10 years, but 8 years is kind of a figure. The real danger period. And a lot of them are expecting, well, maybe by the time I get it, they'll have a cure. But they want to know, they say, and by the way, the death rate has climbed. I just read the other day in a late, I think it's U.S. News and World Report, and it was the Disease Control out of Atlanta gave the figures. There are 30,000 AIDS victims in America today with a full-fledged disease. I mean, there were. And 17,600 of them had died. And they used to say 20%. Then they said 25%. Then they said 30%. Now it's 70%. 70%. Not only that, but it's 100%. It's like when they asked, they said, well, what is the death rate in your city? He said 100%. They all died. And I believe sincerely that even these with a benign so-called carriers, where they haven't got, I believe it'll wreck their system before it gets through, and when it does, the chance comes, that virus will take over and destroy all the immune system. But that's what it takes. The virus of it doesn't kill you, it opens the body without any defense at all to every virus that comes along, cold, pneumonia, anything that comes along. You and I have anyone in this room, if they took a smear out of your mouth, they'd find enough different kind of germs in your mouth to kill you. But you've got an immune system that won't let it. But you get weak sometime and see if you don't get a cold and you don't know where in the world you got it. flu or something else. Well, I'll have to dismiss you, not because I'm through, but